إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I enjoin upon myself and all of you all seated here to adopt a life of taqwa. For it is only through a life of taqwa can a slave of Allah, can a mu'min, can a believer attain success in this world, likewise the hereafter. Secondly, it is incumbent upon all of us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous favors that He has bestowed upon us. From them is this blessed and noble day, Friday. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ That the best of days upon which the sun has risen is Friday. فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمْ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا It was on Friday that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, our father, was created. And likewise, it was on Friday that he was admitted entry into Jannah. And it was also on a Friday that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him out of Jannah and sent him to this world. The hadith goes on, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ Likewise, the day of Qiyamah also will not dawn upon us, except that it dawns upon us on a Friday. The hadith is in Muslim. So inshaAllah ta'ala, today's khutbah is going to be about the stages of life, as explained by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. Before we go into the stages of life, I would like to touch on the purpose of life. Because, O children of Adam, most of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave alone being aware of the stages of their own lives, they are oblivious to the purpose of their life. Many of us, including myself, we are in a haze. We have been intoxicated by this dunya. We are drunk in the love for this dunya that we have lost our bearings. We don't know where we are headed. We have forgotten the purpose behind our creation. And we do not know what is our objective. Our objective is no more in front of us. Allah the Almighty, He mentions in the Noble Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That mankind and jinnkind were only created for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I've said this many times, that does not mean that we spend our whole lives in the masjid, nor do we have to spend our whole lives in prostration in sajidah, because Islam, our religion, is so broad that this term ibadah, it consists of each and every action that we do seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we do seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is termed as worship. Even our bonds of marriage, and even the intimate relationships that take place between a husband and a wife, is considered an ibadah. And even the morsel of food that you place in your wife's mouth, it is considered as a sadaqah. It is considered as charity. Allahu Akbar. But like I said in the beginning, sadly, many of us are oblivious to it. Many of us are ignorant of the fact that we have been created for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many of us, we spend hours in front of the television. We spend hours watching movies. We spend hours watching sports. We spend nights in front of the internet, visiting sites, even if it be dini sites, forgetting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting to remember our beloved maker, at times being on the computer the whole night and not making Salatul Fajr the next day, or at times in front of the television for so many hours that so many salawat from our five obligatory salawat are discarded. We have become ignorant to the purpose behind our creation, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. And in regard to this ignorance, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from the ghafiloon. May He save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that we have created for Jahannam, for the blazing fire of hell, many from mankind and jinnkind. Why? The reason being, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they do not understand. They do not understand what is good. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they do not see what is good. They do not see what is good. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ. They have ears. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They do not hear what is good. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like cattle. They are like animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Allahu Akbar. They are like cattle. Nay, they are even worse than cattle. Allahu Akbar. Allah created us in the best of postures. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. But the minute you become ignorant, you are even worse than animals. You are worse than cattle. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. And they are the ones who are غَافِلُونَ. They are ignorant, or they do not pay heed to what Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Now what has happened to our lives today is that we think we have become so engrossed in this materialistic dunya that we spend most of our lives amassing wealth. We spend most of our lives amassing millions. We are living to eat and we are eating to live. This has become our lives. We amass so much of wealth, build so many houses, buy so many cars, perhaps obtain loans to gain that. We spend almost half of our lives today. Which one of us can guarantee that we are going to live for 100 years? 100 years. In general, most people live up to 60, 70 years. So you're going to spend half of that, 30, 40, 50 years amassing wealth before you retire. And after you amass all of that million, buy all of those cars, slave from morning to evening. It's not haram, but still, what is the purpose? Is that the purpose behind our creation? And afterwards, within 10 years, you're going to leave this world, and someone else is going to enjoy those millions. Someone else is going to drive those cars. Someone else is going to live in those houses. Whilst you go to your maker with zero. Is that the purpose behind our creation? Does it sound noble to you? Are those investments fruitful? Rather, we should be investing in the akhirah. Because that is our objective. That is our goal. That is where we are headed to. That is where we are going to abide forever and ever. And if we are going to be failures in that life, we are failures forever. You face a problem in this world, it is short-lived. Nothing is permanent, it is temporary. But if you are going to face problems in the akhirah, that is permanent. That is forever. Allah save us all. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who understand the purpose of this dunya, of this life that He has blessed us with. Let me give you an example. Say if I were to spread a table in front of you, a table full of delicacies, full of food. Now it is lunchtime, perhaps all of us would be hungry. I spread a table in front of you and ask you to eat whatever you wish from that table. Whatever you wish. You name it, the dish is on the table. But I tell you, after the meal, there is an executioner standing at the end of the table with a sharp sword in his hand. As you finish your meal, he's going to chop off your neck. He is going to chop off your neck. Now, would the hunger pangs still be there? Would you be bothered about eating food once you know death is at the end of the table? No! Likewise, it is amazing how the son of Adam can enjoy this world whilst the sword of death is hanging over his neck. Allahu Akbar! None of us have the guarantee, none of us can guarantee that we would leave this masjid alive. None of us. So how could we enjoy this life if so? All of this can be internalized, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, if we understand the purpose of life. Now swiftly moving on to the stages of life, before I go to that, one final note that we need to inculcate or bring about something in our hearts that so much to the extent that our hearts are attached to the akhirah. Our hearts need to be attached to the akhirah and not this dunya. For if we are attached to the akhirah, no problem in this dunya or nothing from this materialistic dunya would look great for us. Everything would be trivial. Why? Because our goal, our destination is al-akhirah. Now moving to the stages of life. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned there are four stages of life. I hope time suffices for me to cover all four stages. Let's begin with stage number one. He says, number one, hayatul ilm. Hayatul ilm. Your life needs to be a life which is filled with knowledge. Which is filled with knowledge. Because all of us know, Islam is a religion that is based on knowledge. It is based on knowledge. Like I said before, you cannot be ignorant. You cannot be heedless. You need to seek knowledge. For the more you know about Islam, the more you love the religion. Our religion is as such. We need to seek knowledge. Our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in many places that seeking of knowledge is obligatory upon every single Muslim. You have to seek knowledge. For only if you seek knowledge, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, would you be able to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. Today the Muslim Ummah is being duped. Don't believe every person who ties a turban and calls himself a scholar. Don't think that you can gain knowledge over the internet, browsing a few websites. The real scholars of Islam spend their whole lives seeking knowledge. Seek those scholars, study from them, and learn your religion from them. And remember, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the two sources that our religion depends on is the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But sadly today, if you were to ask many people to give me, if I were to ask someone, please give me the nawaqidus salah. Tell me, what are the things that nullify your salah? Or give me the nawaqidul wudu. Give me the things that would break your ablution. Many people would not be aware. Even if I were to ask something much more serious, give me nawaqidul Islam. Give me those things that take you out of the fold of Islam. Many people are even unaware of this term, nawaqidul Islam. If I were to ask you, what is the difference between a sunnah and a bid'ah? Many people would not be aware. Many people, and that is why we find people today ignorant. Nor are they even aware, they're struggling between what is the sunnah of our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and likewise bid'ah, evil innovation. Our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us so much. The famous hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu, he says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing us. He addressed us in a manner that our eyes began to flow, our hearts began to tremble. And we said, Ya Rasulullah, it is as if this khutbah or this sermon that you are delivering to us is like you are bidding farewell to us. So please give us some important advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا. I leave you all upon a white plain. Its night is like its day. لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكُ. And none will deviate from that plane except the one who is utterly destroyed. And he goes on to say, along the lines of these words, hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdijin, the Khulafa, the caliphs who will come after me. And hold on to my sunnah so fast. You need to hold on to it with your premolar teeth. Allahu Akbar. Hold on to it so firmly. Nothing should make you deviate from my sunnah. But to hold on to the sunnah of our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to be able to distinguish between what is sunnah and what is bid'ah. Today, the world is in such a state that everything is mixed up. Everything is mixed up. So many things are being practiced in the name of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. My question to all of you, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, can we claim to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in? Can we claim? Many of these people who claim that they love the Prophet so much, who indulge in practices against Islam, don't even have a beard on their faces. Don't even have a beard. They say that they're doing all of this for the love of the Prophet. Why can't you live like the Prophet first? Live the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that is what he's expecting from us. Look at the love of Bilal radiallahu anhu. After the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stops calling out the Adhan. He stops calling out the Adhan. Because memories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come to his heart. He could not bear it. 1 year before his death, he comes to Medina. He comes to Medina. The grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approach him and beg him to call out the adhan. They say, you have to call out the adhan. Even though he refuses, but finally, it is the grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And please remember salawat whenever I mention his beautiful name. If we claim to love him, do these things. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grandchildren approach him and ask him to call out the adhan. He finally agrees. He goes to the masjid, goes to the same place where he used to call out the adhan, and he starts calling out the adhan. He starts calling out the adhan. He reaches, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He breaks down. He stops. And whilst he's calling out the adhan, the women of Medina come out weeping. They come out crying. They remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal radiallahu anhu starts weeping. He cannot continue the adhan. He remembers his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was their love. This was the love that they had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they never ever practice the innovations that are taking place today. They love the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam so much. The Khulafa'ur Rashideen, follow them was the advice of our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they never practice this innovation that is taking place today. Now how dare we say that we are doing it out of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Celebrating birthdays is an innovation. Anybody's birthday. It is from the pagan cultures. They used to celebrate on their birthday to save themselves from the evil spirits. You come and ask me, can I celebrate my own birthday? It is not allowed. Then how dare we assimilate that to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu, fahuwa raddun. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if anyone were to innovate or bring about a newly invented matter into this religion of ours, it will be rejected. It will be rejected. There is no room for innovation. So don't come and say it is out of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. There is no room. And that's what I said in the beginning. Seeking knowledge is mandatory upon every Muslim. And seek knowledge from the correct scholars who refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has been explained to us by our Salafun al-Salih, our pious predecessors, the illustrious Imams, the four Imams, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahumullahu rahmatan wasi'a. None of them have ever made a quote in regard to this. Are we greater than those Imams? Are we greater than those giants? We who sit in front of the computer and browse a few websites and think we are muftis. We are ready to brand and put down scholars of Islam. Impossible, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Hayatul ilm, the first stage, seek knowledge. Every believer, every Muslim, it is mandatory upon him to know what is the religion he is following. What is the Quran? What is the Sunnah? What are the teachings of the Quran? And what are the teachings of our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For if we were to be grounded firmly in knowledge, these nonsense would not come out from us. May Allah save us all. The three remaining stages, no time to touch on them now, but let me leave you all with one incident. Touching back to what I said in the beginning, the purpose of life. And this is regarding Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Zubayr radiallahu anhu. He is Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Famous Sahabi radiallahu anhu. He enjoyed many relationships with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he was related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ways. Number one, he was the son of Safiya radiallahu anha, who was the daughter of Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, so that makes him the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, he was the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that makes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam his uncle, cousin, uncle. Finally, he married Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhum. Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, who is the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that makes him the brother-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Three relationships. His father dies young. His mother Safiya radiallahu anha brought up Zubayr radiallahu anhu in such a way that she trained him to become a warrior. She never showed him the comforts of this life. Rather, he was put through a very harsh life to make him a warrior. Safiya radiallahu anha also was one of the primary people to embrace Islam. Once there was a rumor in Makkah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been assassinated, or some harm has come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Zubayr radiallahu anhu brandishes his sword. A boy of 16 years old brandishes his sword and rushes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was a rumor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was fine. He asked him, "Oh my brother, why do I see you with a brandished sword?" Zubayr radiallahu anhu says, "Ya Rasulullah, I heard a rumor that some harm has come upon you, and I'm here to declare war against the whole of Makkah to defend you, Ya Rasulullah." This was the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were ready to give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which one of us today is ready to give our lives, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at the sword of Zubayr radiallahu anhu and says, "This sword is the first sword to ever be brandished for the sake of Allah and His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Allahu Akbar. Now he marries Asma radiallahu anha later on. Very hard life. They were not financially well off, but he was known as the knight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was known as Ruknul Iman, a pillar of faith. He was such a great Sahabi. On the battlefield, he used to ride on his horse, and if he were to strike at the enemy, if he were to strike at an enemy soldier, he used to chop them in the middle, right in half. The sword used to go through right in half, so much to the extent that it would go until the saddle, and the saddle would split into two. Allahu Akbar. This was the strength of Zubayr radiallahu anhu. He was known as the knight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Life was hard. Asma radiallahu anha, she had to gather firewood. She had to toil. She had to tend to the animals. They were not financially well off. Once she goes and complains to her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, saying, "Oh my father, life is hard for me." In other words, my life with Zubayr radiallahu anhu is hard because we're not financially well off. And do you know how this noble father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, advises his daughter? Today, what would the father say? "Come home, daughter, or I'm going to spend on you." He sends a fixed amount. And even if the son-in-law has money, he's now going to live off the father-in-law's money. They don't have backbones. Living off the father-in-law's money. How can you be called a man? How can you be called a man? Anyways, coming back to the story. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, Oh my daughter, you're complaining about this life. Don't fret over this life. Your destination is Al-Akhirah. And on that day, in Jannah, on the day of Qiyamah, Zubayr radiallahu anhu, the knight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is going to be in such a high daraja that every single woman is going to look at you and envy you. Now what we learn from this story, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is this dunya is nothing. It's a temporary, transitory stage that we are crossing through to reach to our destination. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een understood this. They understood this. And they did not fret over tiny petty issues of this dunya. Rather, they were preparing for akhirah, which is the permanent abode that we are going to live and abide forever and ever. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with the proper love for our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make us follow a religion which is pure and free from innovation. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to stay away from bid'at, evil innovation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the highest stations in Jannah. Wa akhir da'waya.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.